Officers had a hard time keeping the men moving. Emerging from Zone, less than a kilometer from the bridge, the column was fired on by a German 88 and by a machine gun, both shooting straight down the road. There were no casualties. D Company covered the right side of the road, E Company the left. They pushed forward, firing rifles and lobbing mortar shells, which silenced the opposition. But the Germans had done their job, delaying the advance long enough to complete their preparations for blowing the bridge. When the lead American elements were 25 meters or less from the bridge, it blew in their faces. There was a hail of debris of wood and stone. Winters, with Nixon beside him, hit the ground. Big pieces of timber and large rocks rained down around him. Winters thought to himself, what a hell of a way to die in combat. Colonel Sink ordered 2nd Battalion to lay down a covering fire while 1st Battalion looked for a way to get over the canal. Corporal Gordon Carson of Easy spotted a couple of waterlogged rowboats on the far side and decided an immediate action. He stripped stark naked, made a perfect racing dive into the water, swam across, and fetched a boat that carried some men from the first squad about halfway over the canal before it sank. Other men from 1st Battalion, more practical, took the doors off a nearby barn and, with the help of Sergeant Lipton and several E Company men, laid them across the bridge pilings. The German rear guard, its mission accomplished, withdrew. Engineers attached to the regiment improved the footbridge over the canal, but it was so weak that it could bear only a few men at a time. It took the battalion hours to get across. It was getting dark. Sink got word that the Guards' armored division had been held up by 88s a few kilometers south of Eindhoven, and he did not know the state of German defenses in the city. He ordered a halt for the night. The platoon leaders posted outposts. Those not on duty slept in haystacks, woodsheds, whatever they could find. Privates Hubler and Webster of Sergeant Rader's 2nd Squad 1st Platoon found a farmhouse. The Dutch farmer welcomed them. He led them through the barn, already occupied with Regimental Headquarters Company. You shoot 'em, we loot 'em, was its motto, who resented their presence. On to the kitchen, where the Dutchman gave them half a dozen mason jars filled with preserved meat, peaches, and cherries. Hubler gave him some cigarettes, and Webster handed him a D-ration chocolate bar. He sucked in the smoke greedily, the first decent cigarette he had enjoyed in 5 years, but saved the candy for his little boy, who had never tasted chocolate.